The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Brad McDonald. It's good to be back in the studio with you. Well, as I'm sure you are aware of, an Islamist terrorist struck the heart of London yesterday. You're probably familiar with the details. It's all over the news, especially here in the UK. But a vehicle mowed down pedestrians on Westminster Bridge. And after it had finished mowing down these pedestrians, it collided with the fence that surrounds Britain's Parliament buildings. And then this terrorist got out and stabbed some people. Right now, four people are dead. More than 40 people have been injured. I think by now most people recognize and are admitting that this was an Islamist terrorist attack. Though I don't think I've heard that said as explicitly as I just said it. But if you look at the facts of the way this attack was carried out, it certainly looks like this was an Islamist terrorist attack, the modus operandi. We've seen it before. We've seen Islamist terrorists using vehicles or trucks. We saw it in Germany in December. We saw it in France, in Nice last year. Stabbings, taking a knife and just stabbing people on the street. We've seen this modus operandi before. Yesterday, too, was also the one-year anniversary of the terrorist bombings in Brussels in 2016. And as we know, Islamist terrorists have a penchant for celebrating anniversaries with more attacks. There's a lot we can learn from this horrible and tragic terrorist attack in the heart of London yesterday. One thing we can learn, I think it's pretty obvious that the Islamist terrorist threat has not gone away. All of our efforts since 9/11, since 7/7, since Paris, since Brussels, since the attacks in Germany last year, all of these efforts haven't done anything to eliminate the terrorist threat coming from radical Islam. It's obvious, too, just looking at this attack and the others, that the terrorists really don't need sophisticated weapons to have an impact. They don't need sophisticated weapons to just create terror and fear in a city. Yesterday, it was a car, a rental car. I believe the terrorist rented the car from Birmingham, just 20 minutes from the studio here. It's a little surreal to think about. This man a week ago rented a car in Birmingham, and he practically drove past Edstone on his way to London. And then yesterday he went over the bridge. I think I read somewhere he went over the bridge at 65, 70 miles an hour, just looking for people to mow down on the bridge. If you've ever visited London, you've probably walked Westminster Bridge. That's the one that is right there adjacent to Big Ben and the Houses of Parliament. We've all been there. I remember being there with my family just this past summer. But he got in his rental car and he just started plowing through people. A couple of people jumped off the bridge into the Thames, which would have been terrifying. But it shows the sense of danger that those people must have felt as they saw this car careening toward them, that they would just jump into the river. So the terrorists, they don't need sophisticated weapons. All they need is a car, a knife, and they can inflict terrible, terrible damage and tremendous fear. I mean, four people died and more than 40 were injured, and that's really tragic. But, you know, compared to 9/11 and 7/7 and some of the attacks we've seen in Europe, it was comparatively small. But think about the impact. The entire city, one of the most, you know, famous cities on earth, I forget which historian called it or poet called London the center of the earth, the entire city was shut down for a day. We also learned that the terrorists can and are going after our most important, our most symbolic institutions. They want to destroy the heart of Western civilization. Britain's Prime Minister Theresa May, she made this point in her press conference on yesterday's attack. Let's just play that, Sam.
The location of this attack was no accident. The terrorists chose to strike at the heart of our capital city, where people of all nationalities, religions and cultures come together to celebrate the values of liberty, democracy and freedom of speech. These streets of Westminster, home to the world's oldest parliament, are ingrained with a spirit of freedom that echoes in some of the furthest corners of the globe. And the values our parliament represents, democracy, freedom, human rights, the rule of law, command the admiration and respect of free people everywhere. That is why it is a target for those who reject those values. But let me make it clear today, as I have had cause to do before, any attempt to defeat those values through violence and terror is doomed to failure.
That was Theresa May speaking after the terrorist attack yesterday. And Ms. May, there's a lot to admire about her speech. And you know, a lot of people over here in Britain in particular, really, they took it positively and they were encouraged by her words. But the angle of this story that I really want to focus on is the reaction. The reaction we're seeing here in Britain to this attack, the reaction, the response of Britain's leaders, the response of the media here in the UK, the response of many British people, I think it's really quite remarkable. And Theresa May, for the few positive and encouraging and really eloquent statements she made in that speech, I think Theresa May in that speech really summarizes the reaction, the response that we've seen coming from Britain. Let me just play another clip for you. And in this clip, Miss Theresa May, she describes how Britain needs to respond to this terrible, terrible terrorist attack we had yesterday. Sam?
Tomorrow morning, Parliament will meet as normal. We will come together as normal. And Londoners and others from around the world who have come here to visit this great city will get up and go about their days as normal. They will board their trains. They will leave their hotels. They will walk these streets. They will live their lives. And we will all move forward together, never giving in to terror and never allowing the voices of hate and evil to drive us apart.
You probably heard Theresa May's use of the word normal there. I think I counted four times where she said that England needs to respond by going about their normal activities. Now, I mean, we want to be fair. I don't want to be too harsh in some of these remarks about the Prime Minister's message. It was an eloquent message, and to her credit, I think she identified it as a terrorist attack. Writing a message to a nation that's experiencing a crisis, writing it and delivering it under such pressure can't be easy. But, I mean, I personally was just so disappointed to hear Theresa May, Britain's Prime Minister, respond that way. Basically, the response, Britain's response to this terrorist attack needs to be one where it keeps calm and carries on. That's the message from Britain's Prime Minister. We defeat the terrorists by returning as quickly as possible to normal life. Tomorrow morning, she said, Parliament will meet as normal. We will come together as normal, and Londoners and others from around the world who have come here to visit this great city will get up and go about their day as normal. They will board trains and leave their hotels and walk these streets. Everything will be just as it was. Let's continue to behave as normal. Keep calm and carry on, Britain. What a disappointing response. to a terrorist attack. Britain's capital city just experienced the worst terrorist attack since 7/7. Think back to those images of Big Ben, this iconic structure that everyone around the world knows, surrounded by emergency vehicles and broken bodies. Think about the fact that a terrorist just penetrated Britain's parliament. Think about the fact that the West's Islamist, radical Islamist enemies are in the streets singing and praising and dancing, happy, excited about the success of this attack, and no doubt planning further attacks, future attacks. And the message coming from Britain is we need to keep calm and carry on as normal. That's how we defeat the terrorists. We defeat the terrorists by showing them that our normal everyday routine will not be disrupted. Surely that's not the solution to Islamist terrorism. Keep calm and carry on. Surely there's more to a solution than that. This really does reveal a terrifying apathy and lukewarmness in Britain. Can't we expect, or shouldn't we expect, a greater sense of urgency? Shouldn't we expect more concern? Shouldn't there be more introspection and self-examination taking place after such a terrorist attack? What's wrong with a nation thinking, why did this happen? What are we doing wrong? How can we prevent this in the future? How should we respond? Why did God let this happen? I mean, I understand there's a lot of British that aren't going to ask that question, but surely at least those who claim to be religious, surely they could ask that question. Why did God let this happen? Yet what we see coming from Britain, from the highest leaders and to the media and right out down into the public, is the keep calm, carry on as normal sentiment. Yesterday after the attack, I did what most of us probably do now. We go online, we go to social media. I went onto Twitter because that's where the breaking news is reported now, and you can see what the public is talking about. You can see how people are perceiving the terrorist attack, and it really was shocking. Social media, Twitter, it was just full of bright platitudes and hopeful cliches and buoyant remarks. And there was a lot of praise and admiration for the people who were assisting the victims of the attack. I mean, that praise and admiration, too, was deserved. I think it was remarkable the way the police, and I think there was even a Conservative MP who ran to help out one of the victims. I mean, it was remarkable. It was brave. It was impressive to see people operating, so calmly and responding so quickly in a time of crisis. But surely, there should have been discussions about other facets of this terrorist attack. I was surprised by the lack of concern that there was about the broader issue of terrorism. I was surprised about the lack of urgency. I was surprised, and I'm still surprised as I look through the news this morning, surprised by the lack of passion for a response. I was surprised by the lack of reflection and self-analysis taking place in Britain in the wake of this terrorist attack. There is a shocking level, I think, from my observation, is that there's a shocking level of acceptance. It's just normal. We've just come to accept it. And I mean, there has been some talk about, possible solutions, larger bollards outside the Houses of Parliament. That's one solution. We need to have more bollards and we need to have larger bollards outside the Houses of Parliament. That was a weak spot. That's always been a weak spot where that vehicle came through. We need to fix that. Others have just had somewhat of a defeative attitude. Well, what can we do when terrorists choose to use a vehicle and a knife? There's not much we can do. All we can do is keep calm and carry on as normal. All we can do is just be brave and show the terrorists that we won't be defeated. We won't cower in fear. We'll go about our regular everyday life. Today, we learned that the terrorist was actually born in the United Kingdom. And he apparently had connections with the Islamic State. He had connections with extremists in the Middle East. Now, again, doesn't that reveal a larger issue with Britain? The fact that Britain bred this Islamist terrorist, how did that happen? How do we prevent that from happening? How many more Islamist terrorists are being bred across Britain? What can we do to fix this? But I haven't seen a single politician, a single media outlet respond in that way. It's all been keep calm, carry on as normal. It's all been pleasant platitudes. It's all been smooth things. I can just go through a few examples, if you like. On Twitter, since the attack, there's just been a few messages. If you know how Twitter works, it's easy for things to go viral. Someone can make a tweet, and if it's appreciated by lots of people, they can like it, and all of a sudden it gets a massive amount of exposure. All of these tweets have had a lot of exposure. But they really summarize the spirit in Britain following this terrorist attack. Here's one tweet. Don't give them the anger they want. Focus on the amazing job done by the public and emergency services. Don't look at the apparent carnage. Look at the people rushing towards the unknown to help others. Make the story about the resilience of London and its citizens. That's the spirit. Focus on the amazing job done by the public and the emergency services. Don't look at the carnage, but look at the people rushing towards the unknown to help others. I mean, it's fine. It's great to admire the courage of those that rushed to help. It's great to admire the amazing job done by the public and emergency services. But we can't ignore the carnage. If we ignore the carnage this time, if we don't do anything to address the cause of the carnage, it's inevitable that it would happen again. But here we are. Don't think about how it happened. Don't think about what caused it. Don't think about how to prevent it. Don't think about what God might be showing us by allowing this to happen. Don't think about what this terrorist attack reveals about the state of British culture and society. Don't think about the fact that this terrorist attack might show that multiculturalism has failed. Don't think about that. Don't think about the lessons the carnage furnishes. Just think about the amazing job done by those who rushed to help the victims. Sad. How can this problem ever be fixed if we don't think about it? Keep calm and carry on as normal. Here's a couple other tweets. Again, these are popular. This is the sentiment, I would say. This kind of captures the attitude and the mood of Britain following this terrorist attack. One tweet said, as ever, the best reaction to the events of yesterday is calmness, not hysteria. We're British. That's what we do. We're British. That's what we do. Now, of course, I'm not saying that we have to. I'm not advocating hysteria. I'm not advocating that, Britain just go out and bomb someone this afternoon. What I'm saying is, we need to think about why this happened. We need to think about the causes of this. And if we don't think about it, if we just respond by thinking, keep calm and carry on as normal, then we're not doing anything to prevent another attack and a worse attack. Here's another tweet. Look at this. Don't start finger pointing and blaming. Don't turn on anyone. Keep calm. That's how it gets beaten. Don't start finger pointing and blaming. Don't turn on anyone. Keep calm. That's how it gets beaten. Really? That's how you defeat an enemy that wants to mow down your pedestrians on a bridge, that wants to stab your children, that wants to penetrate the parliament and destroy your politicians? You defeat them, you beat them by keeping calm, by living life as normal. This is a pleasant platitude. This is a smooth thing. There's no proof. There's no evidence of that. Where's the proof that this approach works? As far as I know, there isn't a single example in human history where a vicious, violent enemy has been defeated by keeping calm and acting normal. But that's the sentiment behind so much of the rhetoric coming from Britain's leaders and the media here in Britain and even the British public. There are all kinds of signs have been erected across London today and in quite a few of London's underground train stations. At the Tower Hill station, there's a sign that says, "The flower that blooms in adversity is the rarest and most beautiful of them all." And there's another sign at another underground station in London, and it says, "All terrorists are politely reminded that this is London, and whatever you do to us, we will drink tea and carry on." That's the sign that was put up at a London underground today. "All terrorists are politely reminded that this is London, and whatever you do to us, we will drink tea and carry on." What a tragic mentality. What a tragic, tragic, tragic mentality prevailing in Britain today. A terrible terrorist attack. 4 people dead, more than 40 people injured. A vehicle, a terrorist, penetrating the enclosure of the British Parliament. Big Ben surrounded by catastrophe. And Britain is just going to move on as normal. It's going to drink tea and carry on. Something is wrong. Something is drastically wrong with the United Kingdom. This keep calm and carry on as normal mantra is only going to cause more problems. It's only going to result in more crises. When something like this happens, we need, whether individually or collectively, when something like this happens, we need to stop and to think about why it happened. We need to think about how it happened. We need to think about the causes of the crisis. And I mean, if we take this all the way, if we take this back to God, if we take this back to the Bible, and I know there'll be a lot of people in Britain who won't want to do this, but it's the truth, it's reality. We need to think about why God allowed this and what God's trying to teach us through this crisis. We can't just keep calm and carry on as normal. Okay, we'll go ahead and take a break. After the break, we'll come back and we'll talk about a historical parallel to this lesson of human nature that we're talking about right now.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Perhaps no hour in Britain's history was darker than that preceding World War II. Nazi Germany was arming. Nations in Europe were being conquered, their borders redrawn. Britain, the nation that once ruled one quarter of the earth, teetered on the edge of survival. Many leaders in Britain feared war. They wanted to disarm. They spoke of peace as Europe sank deeper into the pit of war. This dark hour may have been Britain's last, were it not for one man. This man stood alone in the face of adversity at home and abroad. He rose to the occasion when his nation needed him most. He vowed that Britain would never surrender when confronted by forces of evil. Winston Churchill took Britain's most important job during Britain's darkest hour. He did what others were afraid to do. Some doubted his methods, but the results speak for themselves. Churchill led Britain from the precipice of ignominious defeat and possible death to what became one of the nation's brightest hours. What was it that made Winston Churchill so different from other leaders of his time? Surely now, more than ever, this world needs another Winston Churchill. Our booklet, Winston S. Churchill, The Watchman, explains what made this man such a great leader. We would like to offer this booklet to you free of charge. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
Tomorrow morning, Parliament will meet as normal. We will come together as normal. And Londoners and others from around the world who have come here to visit this great city will get up and go about their days as normal. They will board their trains. They will leave their hotels. They will walk these streets. They will live their lives. And we will all move forward together, never giving in to terror and never allowing the voices of hate and evil to drive us apart.
That was Britain's Prime Minister Theresa May in her press conference following the terrorist attack here in London yesterday. And the spirit of the Theresa May's remarks, the solution, Theresa May's solution for Britain is we have to carry on as normal. We have to carry on going about everyday life as if this terrorist attack didn't happen. We have to show the terrorists that we will not change who we are. Now, again, in some ways, we do want to stand strong and uncompromising in the face of terror. But when something like this happens, when a crisis of this magnitude happens, it isn't keep calm and carry on as normal. That's not the approach. As I listened to that statement from Theresa May, I couldn't help but think about how would Abraham Lincoln respond to yesterday's terrorist attack? How would Winston Churchill respond to yesterday's terrorist attack? How would America's great forefathers respond? Well, I mean, in the case of Abraham Lincoln and some of those other forefathers, I think Abraham Lincoln, you could even see him initiating a nationwide fast, a nationwide day of reflection, getting the nation to beseech God and reveal why did this happen. But here in 21st century Britain, and I think you could say the same thing about the United States, here in 21st century Britain, our response to a terrible terrorist attack like this, a terrible crisis, our response is keep calm and carry on. Keep calm. Don't take too much time to think about it. Let's not ask any hard questions. Certainly, let's not ask why did God allow this. This is a destructive mentality. It really is a destructive mantra. When crisis strikes, individually or collectively, it's healthy to respond with urgency and reflection. It's healthy to think about why did this crisis happen, to identify the causes, to identify the solutions, to confront the causes. Crisis like this can initiate change, which can make us stronger, which can make us less vulnerable. It really can prevent another crisis. But that's not the approach that Britain's taking. And even Britain's own history warns against the approach it's taking. Britain's own history warns against it being so casual, so unconcerned when scary, dangerous events happen like this. They made this mistake in the 1930s. Think back to that decade for a minute. Throughout the 1930s, there were multiple signs. There were a number of significant crises that revealed Hitler's motives and ambitions. There were lots of signs throughout the 1930s that showed that Adolf Hitler hated the Jews and wanted to see them annihilated, exterminated. There were countless signs, well, I shouldn't say countless, there were multiple signs in the 1930s that revealed that Hitler wanted more Lebensraum, I think is the German term. He wanted more living space for Deutschland. In 1935, he passed the Nuremberg Laws, which sanctioned the persecution of Jews. In March 1936, Hitler took the Rhineland, that piece of territory between France and Germany. He sent his troops in there. In August 1936, Hitler introduced compulsory conscription, growing the German army. In November 1936, Hitler signed a military pact with Mussolini. In April 1937, the Luftwaffe bombed Spain. Well, a couple of cities in Spain. In March 1938, the German army was sent into Austria. In October 1938, the German army occupied the Sudetenland in Czechoslovakia. There were all of these crises, all of these, I mean, you could call them terrorist attacks in a sense, kind of like what happened yesterday here in Britain. But there are all of these crises that kept on happening that revealed a much bigger problem, a much larger threat. But Britain's approach throughout the 1930s, Britain's approach was, well, let's not do anything. Keep calm and carry on as normal. In spring 1936, Hitler took the Rhineland, as I mentioned. He did it in a night. He just marched his soldiers right into the Rhineland. This was a rejection of the Treaty of Versailles. But France and Britain did nothing. They carried on as normal. This is a quote from William Manchester in The Last Lion. He says, in the end, they decided to do nothing. Indeed, Stanley Baldwin observed, peace was worth taking almost any risk. Stanley Baldwin at the time was Britain's prime minister. Peace was worth taking almost any risk. Winston Churchill, he read Adolf Hitler's speech that he gave after invading the Rhineland. And in that speech, Hitler, he said, well, I'm done. No more invasions. I don't want any more territory. I'm going to confine, you know, my imperialistic actions to just invading the Rhineland. And Winston Churchill said it was comfort for everyone on both sides of the Atlantic who wished to be humbugged. Who wished to be humbugged. It was a comforting speech for people who were inclined to believe Hitler, who didn't want to accept the truth. It was a comforting speech for people who just wanted to carry on as normal, which most people in the 1930s did. They didn't want to stop after every aggressive act by Nazi Germany and contemplate the hard questions and contemplate the future. They didn't want to stop and think, okay, what does this mean? What does this mean? What's coming? What does this action imply for the future? As Churchill said, they just wished to be humbugged. And sadly, that's the state of Britain and America today. Most people are happy to be humbugged. Most people are happy to be sold a lie. Most people are happy and want pleasant platitudes. They want to hear smooth things. If you go onto Twitter right now and just look at the bulk of the tweets about yesterday's terrorist attack, it's all about, we're stronger together. Let's be normal. Keep calm and carry on. It's the British way. What did that sign say in the underground? All terrorists are politely reminded that this is London, and whatever you do to us, we will drink tea and carry on. The nation is happy to be humbugged. Stanley Baldwin told France's president, who had suggested that they send in some troops to oppose the Germans when Hitler took the Rhineland. Stanley Baldwin told France's president, you may be right, but if there is even one chance in 100 that war would follow from police action, I have not the right to commit England. If there was even a slightest chance, if there was 1% chance that pushing back against Hitler in the Rhineland would result in war or conflict, then he wasn't prepared to take it. He wanted to go on with life as normal. This was the spirit during the 1930s. And we know what happened in September 1939. Here's a quote from Winston Churchill. Churchill delivered this in November 1932. Churchill said, "I cannot recall at any time when the gap between the kind of words which statesmen used and what was actually happening in many countries was so great as it is now. The habit of saying smooth things and uttering pious platitudes and sentiments to gain applause without relation to the underlying facts is more pronounced now than it ever has been in my experience." He hadn't seen a time. Now, he hadn't lived in 2017. But Churchill couldn't recall a time when the gap between the words that were being delivered by politicians and the facts on the ground was wider. Politicians were in the habit of saying smooth things, of ignoring reality, of ignoring the signs, and preaching smooth things, pious platitudes. Keep calm and carry on as normal. Nothing to see here. Hitler invades the Rhineland. Nothing to see here. Hitler invades Sudetenland. Nothing to see here. Hitler invades Austria. Nothing to see here. Keep calm. Carry on as normal. Isaiah 30. The book of Isaiah prophesied that this would be the case in the end time. Isaiah 30, verses 9 through 11. This is what God says. It's talking about rebellious Israel. It says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. And these children say to the seers, "See not," and to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." That is the state of Britain today. Prophesy smooth things. Don't tell us the truth. Let's not evaluate the facts. Let's not, in response to a terrorist attack, try to learn the hard lessons. Certainly, let's not beseech God and ask Him to reveal to us why this happened. Instead, the British people tell their leaders, "Speak unto us smooth things. Tweet unto us smooth things." If you go on Twitter and you look at all the chatter about this terrorist attack, that's what it is. It's a lot of smooth things. They sound wonderful. They sound so positive. But sadly, they're not going to prevent this from happening again. I'll just read a quote from Mr. Gerald Flurry. This is from his book, Winston Churchill, The Watchman. You can request it at thetrumpet.com. But Mr. Flurry's talking about this prophecy. He's been talking about this prophecy for years and years and years. But he says, "We have been proving and teaching for over 50 years that Israel is primarily America and Britain. Churchill was fighting against this condition, and that was prophesied, and it's going to get even worse. So expect physical and spiritual Israel to clamor for smooth things as we head for destruction." And Britain's response to yesterday's terrorist attack is fulfillment of that forecast. That's exactly what we see happening in Britain. The British people, British leaders, Britain's media, they're clamoring for smooth things. But sadly, the nation is headed for destruction. This prophecy is fantastic in the sense that it reveals God's presence. The message isn't fantastic, that's for certain. But in Isaiah 56, verses 9 through 12, God compares Israel's leaders. He compares Britain's leaders today to dogs who won't bark when a criminal comes around looking to engage in criminal activity. The prophecy says, "All you beasts of the field, come to devour." So just imagine a home situated in the countryside, and there's two or three dogs outside, and the job of these dogs is to be watchdogs, to bark when the lions and the bears come close, to warn the people living inside that there's threats outside. "All the beasts of the field come to devour." I mean, that's what we saw yesterday. We saw the beasts of the field trying to devour downtown London. "All ye beasts of the field, come to devour. Yes, all you beasts in the forest. but his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Now, a lot of Britain's leaders are hardworking. A lot of them are sincere. But the Bible prophecy says, and the facts that we see show that they are behaving like dumb dogs. They're not barking. The beasts of the field are prowling outside. The beasts of the field are actually taking some of the citizens of the home. They're killing them. The beasts of the field are on the doorstep. But our leaders aren't barking. They're sleeping. They're lying down. They're loving to slumber, as Isaiah's prophecy says. Yes, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. They're just interested in self-preservation, the advancement of self-interest. Come, you, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Think about that. This is verse 12. This is what they say. Come, you, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be the same as it was today, except much more abundant. This is Isaiah, 600 years before Christ, prophesying of this keep calm, carry on as normal mentality that would come from Israel's leaders. That's the spirit. That's if you read between the lines, that's what that scripture is saying. There would be this keep calm and carry on as normal, everything's fine approach taken by the leaders of Israel. Let's fill ourselves with strong drink. Tomorrow shall be as this day, and there'll be even more abundance. We'll be okay. Life will be normal. Our culture is great. Our society is great. Politics are great. Our nation is stable. Let's just keep calm and carry on as normal. Exactly. This is exactly the sentiment we're seeing in Britain at this moment was prophesied. I'll just play you a quote. Mr. Gerald Flurry, the Trumpets editor-in-chief, he's talked about this, as I said, and he talked about it in a Key of David a few years ago, and he talked about this prophecy, and I'll just go ahead and let's play that now, Sam.
His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. The people are just not alert to what's happening in this world, and that includes the media. They're not, most of them are not really alert to what's going on in this world and what this all means and means to you and every single person on this earth. It's good news. I'm optimistic. I know the end of all this. I know exactly what's going to happen. And it's good news, but there's a lot of bad news that precedes that. That really doesn't need to happen if we would listen to God. But we don't and we won't. But God calls most of the watchmen just dumb dogs. They won't bark. They won't tell you what's really happening. Either because they don't know, and even if they do know, they won't really tell you the blatant, scary truth about all this. They just simply won't do it.
That's Mr. Flurry talking about this prophecy in Isaiah 56. Israel's leaders are like dumb dogs. They won't tell us the blatant, scary truth. They don't want to talk about the blatant, scary truth. The media doesn't want to talk about the blatant, scary truth. And the British people, frankly, don't want to talk about the blatant, scary truth. We got a glimpse yesterday of the blatant, scary truth. The truth is that there are thousands of people living in Britain who hate their host country and want to destroy their host country. That's the truth. That's the blatant, scary truth. And it's the same in the United States. Frankly, it's the same in Europe. There are people living in this country that are hostile to what Britain stands for, to who Britain is, to Britain's institutions and culture and traditions. And they want to overturn it and they want to destroy it. That's the truth that was evident in the terrorist attack yesterday. That's the truth. And frankly, Britain has done quite a lot to facilitate the emergence of this of this threat. Yesterday's attack shows that Britain's approach to multiculturalism, Britain's approach to, you know, creating an all-inclusive society does not work. That's the blatant, scary truth. But no one wants to talk about it. No one wants to think about it. And we're told to keep calm and carry on as normal. Don't take a few hours. Don't take a day or two to sit down and think about how did this happen. Certainly, most people in Britain probably wouldn't even know what a fast is. But there's no way in the world we could ever expect a leader in Israel to say, well, let's take a day of fasting and let's really think about why did this happen and how we can prevent this. It's ludicrous. It would be ludicrous to even suggest that. But that's what we really need to do. That's what we need to do. I'll just read a quote here. This is from the book of Peter. Peter, too, prophesied of this mentality, this prevailing attitude and spirit in the end-time nations of Israel. 1 Peter 4 and verse 7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Be sober and watch unto prayer. See, God wants us, when a crisis like this strikes, God wants us to pay attention. God wants us to think about, why did this happen? How did this happen? What have we done to cause this? What is the solution? God wants us to think, what changes do I need to make in my life? What changes does this country need to make to prevent this from happening again? God would love it if Britain thought, why didn't God protect us? If they took some time to explore that question. But you won't find that on the BBC. You won't find those questions coming or being asked by British politicians. All you'll find is pleasant platitudes and British leaders in the media saying, keep calm and carry on as normal. In the next chapter, verse 8 of 1 Peter 5, the Apostle Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, be vigilant. That term vigilant, it means take heed, lest through remission and indolence, some destructive calamity suddenly overtake you. Take heed or pay attention, lest through remission and indolence or laziness, some destructive calamity suddenly overtake you. Yesterday, as I said, what happened yesterday in Britain was horrible, but it was a relatively minor terrorist attack. Four people were killed, and your heart goes out to the families of those victims. And it's terrible that more than 40 people were injured, but frankly, that terrorist attack was small compared to some of the others we've seen, and it was small compared to the terrorist attacks that radical Islam wants to commit. It was small. Now, the way to prevent that happening again and the way to prevent a larger terror attack from occurring is to take some time and to think, why did this happen? How did this happen? What do we need to change so this does not happen again? Now, of course, that's not going to happen in Britain as a whole. That's not the message coming from Britain's leaders. But that is a response that you individually can take. That you can respond that way, whether you're here in Britain or anywhere else around the world. We can all learn from this incident. We can all be sobered, as Peter said. We can all think about, wow, why did that happen? What does that mean? What is God trying to show us? Where are we in Bible prophecy? If you haven't done so already, go online really soon to thetrumpet.com. And watch Mr. Gerald Flurry's latest Key David. He talks about chapter 2 of Mystery of the Ages, the mystery of evil spirits. And Mr. Flurry talks about the fact that there is a devil and he has a demon army and he's being cast down to this earth. And ultimately, Satan the devil is responsible for yesterday's attack. And he wants to commit hundreds more thousands more. Satan wants to do to the whole earth what he did on that bridge yesterday in London. There's all kinds of really important lessons connected to yesterday's terrorist attack. But we have to be like the Apostle Peter describes here. We have to be sober. We have to be vigilant. Verse 8, I don't think I read it all. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And Satan has agents, spiritual agents, but also human agents, walking around as a roaring lion or as roaring lions, seeking whom they may devour. One of his agents struck yesterday in London. And there will be more strikes if Satan has his way. Again, we need to think about this. You need to think about this. I'm going to conclude with a quote from the Peter booklet. This was written by Mr. Flurry as well. This is page 18 of our booklet on the Epistle of Peter. Peter admonishes us to examine our lives to see where we can do more. Is that what Britain's going to do in the wake of yesterday's terrorist attack? Really examine its life, examine the way it operates, examine the way it thinks, examine the way it behaves. I mean, they're probably going to examine, you know, the security procedures around Big Ben and the Houses of Parliament, but I'm talking about examine the nation as a whole. Of course they're not going to do that. Mr. Flurry continues, the knowledge of Christ's imminent return should make us urgent spiritually. Look at the time frame. Have a sense of crisis and a sense of hope. Think about that. Do you have a sense of crisis? Yesterday, what happened yesterday in London, England, really ought to arouse a sense of crisis. And saying, keep calm and carry on as normal, I mean, that diffuses a sense of crisis. But God wants us to have a sense of crisis. He wants us to look at what happened yesterday and respond with urgency and respond with reflection and respond with a little bit of right fear. God wants us to have a sense of crisis. These events happen so that we can have a sense of crisis. Mr. Flurry continues, we're facing the worst crisis ever. Never has there been anything like it in mankind's history. Never have men needed God's warning more than now, and we only have a tiny span of time to do this work. We need to watch world news and our prayer life. If we aren't praying properly, we won't see what is really happening and be urgent about it. If we are going to become more urgent, we must get our minds on the end of all things, concluded by the return of Jesus Christ. If we don't have a sense of crisis, we are out of touch with reality. If we don't have a sense of crisis, we are out of touch with reality. And sadly, the way Britain has responded to yesterday's terrorist attack has diffused the British people from having a sense of crisis. And this nation is out of touch with reality. And what that means is that there's going to be more attacks. But as Mr. Flurry talks about here in this quote, these attacks all lead to the return of Christ. They're all a sign that the most important, the most wonderful event in the history of the universe is drawing closer day by day. Take some time. Don't follow, with all due respect to Britain's Prime Minister, don't follow her advice and keep calm and carry on as normal. Take some time to think about what happened in London. Take some time to think about what changes you could make in your life so that you can be ready and so that you can avoid the sadness and the suffering that quite a few people experienced yesterday in London. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.